I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Falling in love is the best feeling in the world. You see stars, you feel giddy, but sometimes that makes you do crazy things. And sometimes that means murder. Just because a story starts out with once upon a time, doesn't mean it ends happily ever after. Welcome to Crazy in Love, a production of KT Studios and iHeartRadio. Today's guests are true crime producers Stephanie Leidecker and Jeff Shane. Episode 41, The Case of the Lookalike, The Polarizing Doctor, and The Hammer. The year was 2003 and Mark Sievers was on vacation in St. Petersburg, Florida. As a traveling nurse, his job could be pretty stressful, so a little R&R was much needed. In between time at the beach and poolside drinks, he met a recently divorced doctor named Teresa. For the 35-year-old, it was love at first sight. As a holistic doctor, Teresa was outspoken and confident. To her friends and family, she was something special, and Mark saw that right away. After dating for some time, the pair got engaged. To honor how they met, Mark and Teresa got married on a beach at sunset, surrounded by loved ones. Teresa let her hair fall curly and wore a stunning white dress. She was the epitome of a glowing bride. 6 months after tying the knot, the couple welcomed their first daughter. They built a large home around 45 minutes south of Fort Myers in a safe community named Bonita Springs. In 2007, they had another little girl. For Mark and Teresa, it seemed like all of their dreams were finally coming true. Here's Stephanie.
Teresa found success as a holistic doctor. She basically combined traditional and alternative medicine, which healed people from all over the world who couldn't find help elsewhere. She also made motivational speaking videotapes that she would sell online. And with multiple sources of income, she became the family's breadwinner. Mark helped manage the office, though, and he took care of their two girls. And perhaps she was so successful because Teresa was a fighter, and she would fight for her patients to receive the best care possible.
A fighter indeed, Steph. Teresa was known to have a really strong personality. She was considered pretty polarizing from the people in her life. You either loved her or you hated her. People described her as a dynamo. She had a very short fuse. And this probably comes from the fact that she really expected perfection from everyone. She would even yell at patients who weren't following her orders. Despite being a very small woman, she often had the biggest personality in every room she stepped into. But what really it came down to was it all came from a place of wanting to help people.
On June 29th, 2015, 911 dispatchers received a call.
911, what is your emergency?
I'm at a friend's house. He's out of town, and I came here to check on his wife, and she's dead on the floor.
The Seaver family had been on vacation in Connecticut celebrating Teresa's mother's birthday. While Mark stayed behind to continue the fun, Teresa had to come home early to get to work Monday morning. When she failed to arrive at the office, the staff texted Mark, who contacted a friend to check on her. Here's audio from the 911 call.
My friend, she's a doctor. I'm a doctor. She came home last night. Her husband is in Connecticut, and she was supposed to go to work at 9 o'clock. She called me, and I was on my way into work, so I swung by, and she's dead on the floor. And there's a hammer at the side, and she's bashed in the back of the head. And I knocked on the front door, and nobody answered. The lights were on. I could see her purses on the countertop, and she didn't answer. I pounded, and he gave me the key code to get into the garage door. I opened the garage door, and the door leading to it was open. One of the dogs ran out. I don't know if he left or not. And I walked in. I just opened up the door, walked in the door, and she was dead on the floor.
You're doing great, okay?
Okay.
All right, I did let them know that you're outside.
The fire guys are here.
Okay, great.
She's dead.
So when the detectives arrived, their first thought was a robbery gone wrong. Teresa had just gotten home, and perhaps a robber didn't think anyone would be there, and she had walked in on a crime being committed. What cops noticed that kind of added to this theory was that the home's alarm system wasn't on. And this all stemmed from the fact that when the family was on vacation, Mark had asked his mom to come over and feed the family pets. When she arrived at the house, she noticed that the alarm was off and had called her son, Mark, to ask him about it, and he told her not to worry about it. So perhaps the alarm system got left off, which allowed a robber to break in, because as we know, later that evening, Teresa was killed by someone in the home.
The issue was that nothing was missing in the house. Everything was in pristine condition, so it didn't even look like a break-in. Plus, worth noting, this crime was absolutely brutal. Teresa had been beaten to death with a hammer. She sustained severe head trauma, and there was a ton of blood. It was clear to detectives that this was not a quick and painless death. In fact, it looked very personal.
While the detectives were looking at everyone in Teresa's life, like her office staff, her patients, her manicurist, and her landscaper, the online web sleuth community also kind of took on the case. Online web sleuths are amateur, everyday men and women who are passionate about true crime and really investigate cases from the comfort of their own homes. They've been known to have a fair amount of success. And so according to this community, there had actually been at least 5 holistic doctors across the country who were found dead. Their thought was that could someone have been targeting these men and women because perhaps they had a cure for cancer or something else that a big pharmaceutical company wouldn't want getting out?
At that time, police did not buy that. They were looking at a disgruntled employee by the name of Sandra Hoskins. Now, Sandra had been treated harshly by Teresa, apparently, telling her that she had very bad energy. And Sandra responded to Teresa by calling her a bitch. The relationship had soured, and so much so that Sandra had been planning on quitting her job the very Monday that Teresa was actually found dead.
The police also wanted to talk to the person closest to Teresa, her husband, Mark. For around 3 hours, he spoke to detectives without an attorney. Let's take a listen.
I don't believe this. I appreciate her case. She has mace on her key ring. I tell her whenever you're leaving, going in dark at night, always have your finger on it. Your purse doesn't do any good. If you carry a gun, you have your hand on it. It doesn't do any good if it's not accessible. I spoke to our financial advisor, who's a really good friend. It's like a father to Teresa. He's also telling me what I need to do. He goes, stop crying, stop doing it. We have to do all these things. And I know it's just, I'm doing as much as I can as people are telling me. Yeah. I feel so, I guess I feel pathetic. But at the same time, there's so much going on. But it's hard. I feel that I could have stopped this from happening. How do I get over it?
It's gonna take time. It really will.
Can you tell me when she died? I need to know, was she tortured? Was what happened to her?
We can't tell at this stage. We're still working on that.
I mean, this is hard. This is really should be nothing.
This is unreal.
I should say this is this is, shit
this
about
is
this.
Exactly. If it's gonna help solve. Relax, stop hurting yourself. Just focus
on your
breathing.
I'm just trying to focus, that's why I did it.
Okay. Now, talking about your relationship, have you guys been contemplating any kind of separation or divorce? Has there been any marital problems?
No.
How about 6 months ago?
No.
How about a year ago?
No.
And at one point, Mark had a moment alone, and he completely broke down.
Pretty harrowing stuff. So really at this point, despite all of his crying and heartbreak, it looked like he was one of the two biggest suspects in the case, the former employee Sandra, and I suppose by default, the husband Mark.
Which is very common. Typically, when anybody is murdered, the first suspect is always their spouse or their partner or their significant other. It's just stage one of obviously starting an investigation, and you want to start ruling people out as quickly as possible.
That's a great point, Steph. And because remember, Mark had actually been out of town in Connecticut with the kids at the time of the murder. So it was physically impossible that he would even be able to kill his wife. But cops often assume that spouses have information or insight into the frame of mind of the victim.
In July, nearly a month after the doctor was found dead in her home, the police got a tip that had them looking in a completely new direction. The tip told investigators to take a closer look at a man named Curtis Wainwright in small town Missouri. According to the tip, Curtis had been in Florida at the time of the murders. So who was this man thousands of miles away? Here's Jeff.
As it turned out, Curtis was actually Mark's childhood friend. The two men, both bald and large in stature, looked more like identical twins than buddies. They were also incredibly close. Mark would tell people Curtis was his brother from another mother. He was at the couple's wedding. Curtis was incredibly smart. He was his class president and a whiz with technology. He would come down to Florida to work on the Seavers computers in their home and office. 2 months before his wife's death, Mark had traveled all the way to Missouri to be the best man at Curtis's wedding. Curtis then had traveled down to Florida to attend Teresa's funeral.
But he also had a bit of a dark side. He was a 5-time convicted felon, and Curtis was also a person of interest in a 1996 missing person case.
The tip also said that Curtis hadn't been alone on that Florida trip. He was allegedly with a friend from prison, a man named Jimmy Rogers. Now, Jimmy had a pretty interesting and relevant nickname, the Hammer.
Which, of course, we know was the weapon that ultimately killed her. So the police went to talk to both men, and they denied ever being in Florida. This big tip, however, seemed like a dead end until police noticed a car in Curtis's driveway. Inside the car was a GPS device, which, you know, police were very hopeful would shed some light on his whereabouts and that that information could be used as potential evidence. But unfortunately, the GPS had been cleared. But we know how technology works. Detectives spent hours recovering data and luckily pulled up all of the previous destinations. And bingo, sure enough, it seemed that, in fact, Curtis had driven 1,100 miles from Missouri down to Florida.
Yeah, Steph, this GPS device really showed a true road trip from hell. On the morning of June 27, 2015, 2 days before Teresa was killed, Curtis first stopped at Jimmy's house. Next, the pair drove south all the way to the Seaver residence.
And according to the GPS, they arrived around 6 a.m. Detectives surmised the men probably went into the home, turning the alarm system off at 6.09 a.m. Remember, Mark's mom was really confused why the alarm system was off when she went to the house. Here's what cops told her.
I was not there at 6:09 in the morning.
He was turned off at 6:09.
Maybe someone was in there?
That's what we're trying to work
out. Oh my God.
After getting into the house, Curtis and Jimmy had some time to kill, literally. So they went to Walmart. The police tracked down surveillance footage of the two men at the store buying items like a lockpick set, black towels, flushable wipes, and garbage bags. After doing this macabre shopping, the men drove to the beach to enjoy the Florida sun.
Can you imagine? And by the way, all of this is trackable on the GPS system. But that wasn't all the police were relying on. Jimmy, aka The Hammer, had a girlfriend. Her name was Taylor Shoemaker, and she was also talking to police. She told cops that Jimmy had confessed to her. Have a listen.
And you still don't know anything about what happened yet, right? He tells you that night at your mom's?
Yeah, he tells me the next night at my mom's. I told him that I knew. I didn't actually know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was after you guys came, and I told him that I knew that he had something to do with it.
Okay.
And then he started asking me questions like, what do I know about? And I'm like, well, I know you went down there to kill somebody. And then he said, yeah. And then I took a guess at Mark's wife, and then they said, yeah.
And you said, when you said Mark's wife, you're talking about Teresa Severs, the doctor that was killed?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I said, did you shoot her? And he said, no. And I said, then how'd you kill her? And then he made a stupid little chuckle that he does, and then said, with a hammer.
He said, with a hammer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Taylor then took the cops to the area where she said Jimmy had her dispose of the bloody clothes. And sure enough, the clothes were right where she said they would be.
With all the signs pointing towards Curtis and Jimmy as the killers, the cops could close the case. But the question remained, why did these two men so far away kill Teresa Severs? Curtis Wainwright offered the full story in exchange for a lesser sentence. Prosecutors offered him a plea of second-degree manslaughter with a 25-year sentence. It was a deal he could not refuse.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
At Jimmy's trial, Curtis testified that he and Jimmy killed Teresa. He also told the courtroom that he had offered Jimmy $10,000 for his part in the murder. After 2 days of deliberating, the jury found Jimmy guilty of second-degree murder and sentenced him to life in prison. But what Curtis offered to prosecutors wasn't just testimony against Jimmy. It was also a story that pointed the blame towards his best friend and Teresa's husband, Mark.
According to Curtis, Mark had offered him $100,000 to kill his wife, Teresa. And it all started 2 months before the murder at Curtis's wedding, the one where Mark was the best man. Curtis said that Mark was complaining of marriage problems and suggested that Curtis kill Teresa to make all of his problems go away. At first, Mark's idea was that Curtis shoot her as she was leaving work. Now to that, Curtis pointed out that he might accidentally hurt someone else in the process. But Mark countered that, saying that it would actually maybe work even better if someone else died, because then the suspicion would be off of him. While the cops had figured out Mark and Teresa had serious money issues, they also discovered that Teresa had a $4 million life insurance policy against her. This backed up everything Curtis had told them about the marriage and financial issues that Mark had allegedly told him.
It's so predictable because an insurance policy with that amount of money, I mean, $4 million is a large life insurance policy. And sure enough, here we go. That seems to be one of the motives. The police also discovered one interesting thing. They said that Mark had been communicating with Curtis via some kind of a burner phone. On their regular phones, they would text like normal. But when one of them said the word, quote, other, then they would switch to the burner phone. It was kind of their code.
Steph, we've covered a fair amount of true crime cases, and criminals always think they can get around cops with things like burner phones and code words, and they always get found out. No one is smarter than the police in these situations. And that's what happened. With all this information, the police had enough to arrest Mark Seavers for murder in February of 2016. Grossly enough, as he was being walked out of his house where his two daughters waited for him, he had a noticeable smirk.
The press became obsessed with the lookalike friends turned murderers who would now testify against each other in court. As the trial started, Mike appeared jovial, laughing and smiling with his attorney. But when Curtis took the stand, his disposition shifted. Here's some audio from the trial.
I think when we were in high school, I think the relationship was less deep, so the confiding in part of it really probably didn't happen until we got close after that.
Until you got older?
Yeah.
Dr. Seavers and his daughters, did you ever spend time with them?
I did. I didn't spend much time with all of them together, but I spent quite a bit of time with Mark and the children. When we kind of exhausted that, he told me that really the only option that he had was for her to die. And he said that he needed to have her killed.
Okay, so on your wedding day, on your drive to pick up meat for your wedding, Mr. Seavers is telling you that he wants to have his wife killed.
Yes, he asked me to help him.
I mean, what kind of help was he asking for? Was he asking you to do it yourself, or what? Like, what kind of help could he be possibly asking his friend for?
Well, it was pretty direct. He asked me if I would kill her or take care of it.
And what did you What was your response when he asked you to help him kill his wife?
I was surprised first.
I mean, are the two of you that, were the two of you that close, Mr. Wright, that, I mean, Mr. Severs could ask you to kill his wife and you would actually consider it?
Yes. I mean, definitely the asking part. I question whether or not actually, I question whether or not actually doing it was, should have been part of the friendship, but.
Let's just say it shouldn't have been. Let's just say that.
During the trial, Curtis described in graphic detail the day he murdered Teresa Severs. As he was testifying, his former best friend Mark was no longer smiling, but now crying.
I kicked that stand. The dog dish went flying. Water went everywhere. She jumped and started to turn towards me.
And when she started to turn towards you, what did you do?
I hit her with the hammer.
You hit Dr. Severs with the hammer?
Yes.
Where did you hit her?
In the head.
The defense had a plan to counter Curtis's story. According to the defense, Curtis was gay, and he was deeply in love with his best friend, Mark. He was jealous of Mark's perfect life with Teresa and couldn't handle it anymore, so he decided to kill Teresa. That way, he could hopefully be with Mark.
Despite the fact that Mark had attended Curtis's wedding, and that's where this whole thing started, Mark's defense lawyer said that he could feel a chemistry between the two men. While the defense started to go in this direction, asking Curtis if he had ever had sex with Mark, the judge was not having any of it and shut down the line of questioning pretty much immediately. This meant that the defense had just lost their biggest theory.
When the prosecution and defense rested, the jury took just 4 hours to deliberate. And sure enough, Mark was found guilty of first-degree murder. The jury, get this, recommended death.
Let's stop here for another break.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
At the end of the trial, Teresa's mother made a harrowing victim statement.
The biggest loss falls upon her two daughters, whom Teresa loved with all her heart. These two girls have been robbed of their remarkable mother, their home, their pets, their possessions, their family and friends. Teresa will not be able to love and guide them. She won't be there when they graduate high school or when they need their mother to kiss away tears from their first heartbreak. She won't be able to impact her wisdom and life experiences. Her daughters will miss their mother on every birthday and every holiday, on their wedding day, and when they have children of their own. They will spend the rest of their lives hoping to hold on to the memories of the mother they once knew and trying to forget the nightmare she endured, the last days, moments of her life. But my children have lost the mother they once knew, because a big part of me died with her on June 28th, 2015.
While the jury suggested Mark receive the death sentence, there was one person who felt Mark should be spared, his now teenage daughter. She wrote a letter to the court saying that while she currently wanted no relationship with her father, that if in the future she changed her mind, sentencing him to death would ensure she would never have the opportunity. Mark also made a statement to the court. Here's a partial recording of that.
Although a jury found me guilty, I am innocent of all charges, as I have maintained since this heinous crime took place. I love my wife, Teresa, and our two daughters, Josie and Carmi, with all my heart. Our girls have tragically lost their mommy, and now they're about to lose their daddy as well. Therefore, I respectfully ask the court for life, as not to compound their loss and suffering. I am grateful, however, that the court can only determine my fate on earth while my soul is in God's hands, and God knows the truth. Although I cannot feel remorse for something I had absolutely nothing to do with, I am deeply saddened and forever heartbroken, to say the very least, that Teresa was taken from us. Teresa is my soulmate. I will miss her and cherish her memories until we are reunited in heaven. Until then, I will fight this wrongful conviction until I am proven innocent and set free to rejoin my family.
When it came time to decide Mark's fate, the judge handed him the death sentence. Mark Seavers is currently the only person on Florida's death row who didn't physically kill anyone. In January 2022, he requested a new trial. Shameless plug, if you're enjoying Crazy in Love, leave us a review. And listen to season 3 of our hit series, The Piketon Massacre. New episodes air every Wednesday wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at KT_studios. Crazy in Love is produced by Stephanie Leidecker, Jeff Shane, Chris Graves, and me, Courtney Armstrong. Editing and sound design by Jeff Twa. Crazy in Love is a production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Stay safe, lovers.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.